Businesses today face unprecedented challenges, rapid technological advancements, evolving consumer demands, and increasingly complex problems that traditional approaches can't always solve efficiently. But with artificial intelligence, and more specifically generative AI, if I may say, organizations have a powerful tool to rethink their strategies, enhance productivity, and unlock new opportunities. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Analytics Insight, where we explore some groundbreaking innovations and emerging trends that are shaping business and technological landscape. And I'm your host, Priya Dayalani. Now, for some organizations, harnessing the ultimate power of artificial intelligence, it begins tentatively with explorations of select enterprise opportunities and a few potential use cases. Now, while testing the waters this way, I think it may deliver some valuable insights. It likely won't be enough to make your company a market maker rather than just like a fast follower. Now, to become a true AI-fueled organization, a company may need to fundamentally rethink the way humans and machines interact within their working environments. But, you know, how do we do that in a rapidly evolving tech and business landscape? So let's welcome a guest for today, Kapil Kaul, Regional Vice President, Pre-Sales Asia Pacific OpenText. Hi, Kapil. How are you doing?
Hi, Pia. Thank you for having me. I'm fine, thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing good too. Thank you so much, Kapil. And likewise, it's a pleasure to have you with us on our podcast today. And, I think we are going to talk about some innovative strategies and some, deep insights from your end as to how truly an organization or an enterprise can truly become like an AI-fueled organization. But before that, let's try to know each other more. I think, we would like to know more about OpenText. So if you could help us and our listeners understand, what exactly OpenText is into, what are some specific services or solutions the company offers?
Let me just talk about OpenText briefly. We are a knowledge management company. We believe that information and knowledge will make people and businesses better. And at the heart of OpenText is our information management cloud, which actually empowers digital businesses of all sizes to become more intelligent, connected, secure, and responsible. We believe that by 2030, all businesses will be digitally reshaped. We think every industry will undergo an information-led transformation, which will lead to widespread changes, including new business models, talent shift, adaptation to new rules, driven by AI, and new opportunities. We at OpenText, we call it the Business 2030. Multinational corporations, governments, medium-sized businesses, individual customers. So we cater to all spectrum of the industry.
Great, Kapil. Thank you for giving us that short and brief intro about OpenText. And of course, likely you said that by 2030, I think every organization would be, performing its operation digitally. So I think OpenText plays a really important role here in helping them transform their operations. We would also like to know more about you, Kapil. So I think you have around 30 years of experience in the IT industry, of which 22 years you were in the software industry. So how does it feel like to be, part of an evolving industry today? And if you could tell us more about yourself, how has the journey been till date, and what made you a part of OpenText, or what triggered your interest towards OpenText?
Thanks. As you pointed out, it's almost more than 30 years now that I've been in IT industry associated with it. Much of my time I spent working in India in most transformative projects, be it telecommunication projects that, we started off many moons ago, or, the digitization of services in government and so on. So my background comes from a deep understanding of network technologies, operating system applications over the years. And I've seen a shift from what it used to be two decades ago, where internet became omnipresent, to what it is now, where AI is becoming omnipresent. I have been working with OpenText for better part of my career, and I'm in the regional role as leader for pre-sales solution consulting. And in this role, I have this great opportunity to be at the intersection of our customers, who are the users of our product on one end, and they create multiple different use cases and amazing outcomes with our products. but also product and R&D on the other side, which is actually creating these products. So we take feedbacks from our clients back to our R&D, and we take innovation from R&D back to our clients. So it's a very interesting place to be in OpenText, where you see evolution of technology and also amazing use cases coming from customers.
Right, definitely. And so impressed with your overall journey, Kapil. Thank you for sharing that with us. So moving ahead, let's dive deep into our initial discussion. I think leaders everywhere are rightly asking about how generative AI can benefit their businesses. However, as impressive as Gen AI is, it's only one of the many advanced data science or analytics techniques. I think while the world is focusing on generative AI, a better approach is to understand how to use the range of available analytics tools to address your company's specific needs or use cases. I mean, which analytics tool fits the problem you're trying to solve, and how do you avoid choosing the wrong one? So you don't need to know deep details about each tool at your disposal, but you do need to know enough to envision what's possible and to ask technical experts the right questions. So having said that, what do you think is the potential of AI in terms of solving very complex organizational challenges?
Yes, and as you rightly pointed out, AI has gone through multiple generations of evolution. It really started back then with, let's just say OCR, optical character recognition. That's where back in the day, OpenText translated the Oxford Dictionary into a digital format. But then it moved along. We have multiple ways of AI, including machine learning, predictive analytics that have come in, neural networks, which is fundamentally the basis for what we have today is generative AI. The difference is that generative AI essentially democratizes AI and puts it in the hands of common user. But from the point of view of what AI to use where, of course, when it comes to business modeling, deep and threat hunting, analytics and predictive AI becomes a very strong use case. We believe that at OpenText, there will be AI which is meant for common use, like service desk, responding to RFPs, summarizing email and so on. But there's also breakaway or breakthrough analytics, which is using it for research, pharmaceutical research, legal tech, customer experience, and so on. Generative AI plays a significant role in both areas. So based on the use case that organizations are seeking as an outcome, they will have to pick AI models which best fit that area. And there will be an AI model for everything. There will be hundreds of AI models. There will be AI models for pharma, healthcare, AI models for transportation. So we're going to see an evolution of multiple different AI models that fit the need of the organizations.
Truly said, and I think that's a really fascinating perspective, because AI's ability to analyze vast amounts of data, identify patterns, and generate insights is undoubtedly reshaping how organizations, tackle their biggest challenges. And of course, I very much agree with your point that over the years, we are also going to see a lot of transformation in terms of AI models, and of course, how greater of the value they are going to give to each industry, like you mentioned. So moving ahead, I think that's what we discussed. I think it's really important to start with the problem and not just, adopting the technology. So wielding a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. But instead of asking how to do generative AI in your company, ask what you need to accomplish. And of course, yes, AI can help you explore, predict, optimize, and even recommend. But I guess not every problem is an AI problem. A lot of things can be solved with some very, basic, or I would also say traditional automation capabilities as well. So I think when you can clearly define your use case or your problem, I think it most of that clarifies which tool you need to use. So while we are talking about the specific problem or a use case, how important do you think is aligning your overall AI strategy with the broader organization goals and not just some specific use cases?
It's a good point. And I think understanding the outcome, designing to an outcome, is very important. As I started in the beginning, organizations, if you look at what we believe in, OpenText have got two proprietary gifts. It's the talent and it's the data that they have. Now they would be working on one or the other outcomes. You know, talent, which is about enhancing human potential, making sure that their talent, whether it's their staff, which is in the sales or marketing or R&D, making their lives better, enhancing their potential, giving them the ability to do it right always. And AI plays a big role in that space. The second one is data, which is data has been there forever, right? Organizations inherit data over a period of time. Some of the data lying out there could be 10 years old, and we don't know what is in there. So understanding using AI, what's inside the data, and how can that data be curated to give an outcome, whether it's, again, for marketing or end customers or R&D a product, because there is a whole lot of variety of data. And curating that data in a way that AI can be applied on top of it. And even before AI, you know, some automation processes could take care of it. But the two proprietary gifts, which is talent and data, are something that organizations always love to enhance and work towards. And that's where AI plays a significant role in the enhancement.
Yes, I think that was pretty much, you know, rightly said in terms of the data and, of course, how AI models are built on it. And I think when we're talking about, you know, the broader organizational goals, I think, you know, aligning the strategies, it's something that it's not just a standalone initiative, but it's more of a driving force as to how you want to get the real, you know, business impact. And I think that's very important in terms of how you're using and, you know, adopting AI. I mean, like you, even I believe, and there are a lot of business leaders and investors are really confident that AI is here to stay. And they aren't investing in it as an antidote to market disruption. Rather, they are proactively embracing AI as a holistic strategy to gain insights and, of course, you know, generate some new growth models. And while cost optimization and efficiency have been AI's early business headliners, it is still proving its potential to elevate competitiveness, expand markets, and also be like a launchpad for exponential growth for a lot of companies. So while, you know, like, you know, you mentioned that every year we are you know, facing some new technological advancement. You know, generative AI gained a lot of momentum in 2024 last year, though it was launched in 2023. So, and of course, now we have more advancements in that. So it's clear that we are going to see more advancements in the field of AI. So how do you think, or what are some approaches that you would like to discuss in terms of how businesses can unlock AI's full potential and be ready for a competitive future?
Yeah, that's a very important question. And as you said, look, you know, we like to say at OpenText, the future is awesome, right? Because the potential of AI, let's just look at the headline, would, you know, is through research, increase the average lifespan to 100 years. Or, you know, the IQ, increase IQ up to 160. You know, and there's a lot of research happening in energy, which is fusion, or create autonomous everything. Now, this is a whole lot of evolution for businesses. Now, for businesses to benefit from AI, they need to take care of something very fundamental. One is they need to keep their data private and secure, which would mean that their proprietary data should not have to be in public domain run LLMs. So they can experiment with LLMs in sandboxes, try new use cases. They can check out multiple different LLM models, the one that fits for their job based on the kind of outcome they are seeking. We believe that one size does not fit all when it comes to generative AI. We help organizations and businesses vet LLMs or, you know, generative AI based on the use cases. And also to make AI a trusted partner, which is important, there has to be transformation for both business and technology processes. And that's where we come in and help through our professional services to understand what the business's outcomes are and how we can help them transform. So when recently at one of our conferences, which is OpenText World, we looked at how businesses can use information at the back of the AI to increase human potential. We have launched 15 Aviators. Aviator is our brand for AI, which has about 100 plus AI agents behind it, which support organizations' outcomes that they want to derive out of LLM.
Great, Kapil. And I think you mentioned some really important points in terms of data transparency, data security. And, you know, it's really important to have a very well thought out approach in terms of ensuring that you are leveraging the full potential of AI in term and aligning them with your organization goals and growth as well. Moving ahead, I mean, of course, we discussed about the full potential of AI. But then again, I guess companies are also determined to maintain a competitive edge as, you know, digital transformation acceleration is going at a rapid pace. And eventually, organizations are also turning to generative AI to automate some complex processes, you know, elevate the customer experiences. And again, you know, open up some new revenue opportunities and possibilities. So I was just going across this study and, you know, I came to learn that while AI adoption more than doubling in the past 5 years, I think generative AI alone stands to generate up to $4.4 trillion in productivity gains annually. So it is just about the productivity gains that we are talking here. So in terms of generative AI, how do you see that it is going to shape the future of business processes? And also, how do you think that it is going to impact the overall decision making?
And, you know, anything more than 4 trillion is almost like GDP of a large country, right? So if you look at something from a prediction point of view, how is it going to shape, right? So AI-driven decision intelligence, like large language models we talked about, will be quite nuanced in the way they understand data for a specific use case, which is where decision intelligence will come in. So AI tools will integrate with predictive analytics, causal inference, understand, helping businesses make not only data-driven decisions, but also contextually aware decisions, which is important. Then transparency. As more and more businesses start using AI, transparency and trust becomes important. So there is the term which is called explainable AI, XAI, which is their reliance on AI. It will become essential for industries to have strict compliances with ethical requirements, such as industries in finance and healthcare, right? Then there's also augmented analytics we are looking at, which will help businesses, especially non-technical users, to interact with machine learning and, you know, natural language process-driven analytics platform. This is the area which really democratizes data. It puts in the hands of everyone who's non-technical so that they can gain insights without extensive technical knowledge. So it's the power in the hands of people who are non-technical. Of course, with IoT becoming mainstream, with the rise of IoT, there's also data processing, edge computing, you know, real-time streaming and analysis. That becomes important. But I think one of the more important things is the data fabric, which is where we come in. Is like there are multiple clouds that organizations work with and multiple AI solutions that each of these cloud environments provide to them. But data fabric actually unifies multiple different multi-cloud environments. So as an end user of the service, I don't have to jump between multiple services. So businesses will be looking at creating one common data fabric that will connect the multiple clouds.
Right. I think that definitely makes a lot of sense in terms of how the future of AI will hold in terms of business processes and decision making. And of course, you mentioned about certain industries focusing on certain regulations in terms of data security and protection, for example, the finance industry. And I think, I really want to touch upon that point and dive deep into it, because the current debate surrounding the ethical ramifications of using AI and its potential impact on society isn't ending anytime soon. And in the absence of ethical consensus on so many aspects of cognitive technologies, individual companies on AI journeys should definitely factor in on ethical considerations as well as, you know, the organization's values, because it eventually leads to the development of their own AI solutions. So what are some of the biggest risks that are associated with AI adoption, and how do you think that businesses can mitigate them?
I think you touched a very important point, especially in the area of ethical AI frameworks and regulatory. Businesses have this huge responsibility of ensuring not just privacy of their consumers' data, but also making sure that they're ready for any regulatory changes that will happen in the environment that we are today because it's still being evolved. So keeping the data private will be important. So instead of putting it to public domains, it's important that especially financial industry or even any mission critical industry make sure that they are putting enough guardrails in place and using data securely and also making decisions which are ethical AI responsibility. And they got to be ready for any evolving regulatory environments in data privacy that we are seeing commonly in India. DPDP is the one of those which will ensure that everyone who's got their data in these industries will be sure that it will be put to an ethical use. So the frameworks need to be put in place right now, even before any governance guidelines come into play.
Well, yes, I think I totally agree with you that having a very robust and well-planned AI ethical framework is really important because it helps you to mitigate those risks and, of course, not fall into prey in terms of the different risks that are surrounding around. And, of course, in terms of the regulations, like you mentioned, with more regulations coming in, I think everybody is trying to analyze the current scenario in terms of how AI is actually beneficial. I think a very strong and a robust framework is really, really important. And, you know, I think using AI is not as daunting as it was a few years ago. I think powerful models are also now getting easier to implement. And regardless of what generative AI learns how to do, it's only one of the many available analytics tools, like I mentioned earlier also. So, while every organization has its own goals, strengths, and weaknesses, you know, I think they need to evaluate all of this in term on how they embark their journey of AI adoption and AI transformation. So, and like you mentioned earlier also, it's not like a one-size-fits-all approach that generative AI has. It's different for each use case. So if there's one key takeaway you would want businesses across all industries, irrespective of the size, to understand about leveraging AI effectively, what would that be?
It's an important one. I think start experimenting with AI now. There will never be a time where we will say that we have now perfected AI, now we should go for it. Start experimenting with it now. As I was saying before, there are multiple different use cases, what we are hearing, and I call it the everyday AI, which essentially is trying to enhance the human potential in your, you know, sales and marketing or in operations and HR. And these are areas where you can immediately see outcomes. There are models available that have been used now. There are applications like ours where we use AI right in the middle of the process to help enhance human potential. So start immediately with experimenting with those or relying on those. But as you start using them, each organization will have ideas around game-changing AIs. For example, code generation is a game-changing AI where you could generate a code, test a code, and that's something that you would want to adopt over a period of time. So there's a spectrum. But start now and then start moving on to game-changing AIs. And we can support organizations on both these ends of the spectrum.
Right. And I think that's a very important point, that it's really important to start experimenting AI now, because unless and until you don't do it, it's very unclear as to how your way or path towards adopting a full-fledged AI strategy would be. And of course, like you mentioned, everyday AI, I think that also forms a very critical part of an entire AI adoption strategy. So I think we have discussed a lot about how and when and what are certain steps that organizations should consider in terms of leveraging AI. So one last question for you, Kapil. How do you think is the future of AI, or what are some trends that you think will shape the future of AI?
Yes, and that's something as we see emerging technologies. Of course, I mentioned earlier that it's not AI in itself, but it's the future for humans, which is also awesome. You know, I talked about some examples like increasing lifespan and so on. But the underlying technologies, some of them like quantum computing, is revolutionizing the way we will actually deal with AI, right? innovations in, like, for example, DNA storage will allow organizations to store vast amounts of data in minimal physical space to actually use for this purposes, especially coming in from IoT and AI system. Then there is, you know, neuromorphic computing for advanced analytics, inspired by really the human brain, which is then moving in the direction of artificial general intelligence. And then a lot of work is currently happening in synthetic data generation for training the models. So we don't have enough data. While we have huge amount of data, but we don't have enough data to train the models. So a lot of work is happening in those emerging technologies. So over the next 5 to 10 years, we will see dramatic transformation in the way AI is actually going to enhance in everyday life, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, I agree to that. It's definitely going to be awesome. And I think the world of AI moves really quickly, but in terms of changing, I think organizations are much more slower, I believe. And what works in a lab may be wrong for your company right now, but if you know the right questions to ask, you can make better decisions regardless of how fast the technology changes. And of course, you can work with your technical experts like OpenText to use the right tool for the right job. And then each solution today becomes like a foundation to build further innovative solutions for tomorrow. So thank you so much, Kapil, for your time and effort helping share your insights on a podcast today. And of course, you helped us understand that AI is no longer an option. It's really necessary for organizations who want to stay ahead of the curve to adopt AI. But of course, by taking a very strategic approach, they can maximize the power of AI to drive efficiency and as well as innovation. So thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure having you with us on a podcast today.
Likewise, Priya. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation. Maybe I'll just leave you with this, what my CEO likes to say from the movie Matrix: never bring a human to a machine fight.
Very well said. Thank you so much, Kapil. And this is for our listeners. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion and a conversation with Kapil and explored some new avenues for your growth. Stay tuned for our upcoming podcast, and you can view all our previous podcasts on Spotify and other leading platforms. Thank you so much.